Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sarah, Shlomo Ben Sarah, and Dorit Bat Sarah, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Ze Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have a lot of territory to cover. I hope the program isn't too long this week, so we're going to try to move fast. Let's get right into the subject. Donald Trump incited a riot in Washington, D.C. at the Capitol because he genuinely believed that through violence and what he calls strength, he could overturn or disrupt the proceedings that were taking place in Washington, D.C., with the Electoral College certification that was taking place with Joe Biden. Now, let me make very clear. I detest Joe Biden. He's an evil, fraudulent, despicable individual. He will be a horrible president. And this immoral, monstrous piece of garbage that's entering into the White House is a catastrophe in every way for America, for Israel, for the world. Unfortunately, it's Donald Trump that enabled a Joe Biden to get elected, and we're going to get to that. Thanks to Donald Trump, we have Joe Biden now who's going to be president, thanks to his disastrous failure as president. But first of all, Trump incites these people to go down. He gets them all whipped up and hysterical. He lies to them and says that he won the election when in fact he lost by over 7 million votes. And all the propaganda and all the talk about him winning is just preposterous. It's just absurd. His own judges that he appointed, three of whom he appointed to the Supreme Court, three out of the nine justices on the Supreme Court are Trump appointees, that all the Trumpsters were so proud. Look, he's appointing people to the Supreme Court. This is what all of you Trumpsters always use as one of his great accomplishments. Three out of the nine justices on the Supreme Court are Trump appointees, and many of the other judges that heard these cases were Trump appointees. All of them, dozens of cases, unanimously rejected all of his attempts to overturn election results. Recounts showed the same result over again. But regardless of whether you believe the nonsense that Trump won an election, which he lost by over 7 million votes, whether you believe that nonsense or not, the fact is, when you whip up a crowd, a mob, and they turn to this type of violence, particularly when the news media, you know the news media is hostile, you know the news media is controlled by the left and they're against you and they're biased against you, which is the situation here in this country. When you have a media against you that's going to use this against you, of course you're going to turn off the vast majority of Americans with a scene like this. When you do this type of thing in the Capitol in Washington and create a riot where five people are killed, most Americans are not going to accept that. Most Americans are going to be turned off by that type of behavior. And they clearly saw Donald Trump whipping up the crowd, and they saw his family. They saw his son using the F word and all the obscenities he was shouting out in order to whip up the crowd. They saw what was going on. So, of course, he turned off most Americans by what he did. And that is terrible because that means he strengthened the Democrats and the left and the media and all the forces of evil. Donald Trump has strengthened the left, has strengthened the Democrats, has strengthened the media. The media pretended that they were very upset about what was happening when the riots took place in Washington. All of them should have gotten Oscars for their performances. They were thrilled. They were thrilled to have such a moron as their enemy. Someone so stupid doing such stupid things. Everything that they could have wanted out of Trump, they got out of Trump. He played right into their hands. Trump has discredited the conservative cause and the Republican cause for the vast majority of Americans and for the overwhelming majority of young Americans. Polls show young Americans by 2-1 voted against him and overwhelmingly oppose him. So the future of America is not going to be a conservative future that way. I mean, we're headed toward a situation where nearly half of young Americans say that they agree with socialism. And we saw Even before the riot, we saw a demonstration of this in the two U.S. Senate races in Georgia. You had the runoff for the U.S. Senate races in Georgia on Tuesday, January 5th. Tuesday, January 5th, there were two last races that had to be decided, that decided whether or not the Senate would be controlled by the Democrats or the Republicans. If the Republicans won the two Senate races, they would continue to have a Republican majority in the Senate, and they could have blocked a lot of Joe Biden's evil agenda. On the other hand, if the Democrats won control, then Biden now and the Democrats would now have control of the Senate, the House, the White House, of all levels of government, of all levels of power, which is, of course, very dangerous. So JTF and conservatives and Republicans and everyone, Trumpsters and non-Trumpsters, I mean, we all agreed that it was essential that the Republicans win those two Senate seats in Georgia. Essential. Not because the Republicans are not traitors also. The Republicans also betray principles and are also frauds and also might have done a lot of terrible things. But at least when there's a Republican majority Senate and there's a Democrat in the White House, sometimes there's resistance and sometimes they block what that Democrat wants to do, like statehood for Washington, D.C., or statehood for Puerto Rico, or packing the Supreme Court with more Supreme Court justices, increasing the number of justices on the Supreme Court from 9 justices to 15 so you could appoint 6 more left-wing Democrats on the court. I mean, there are many things the Democrats could do with a Senate majority if they're able to do it, if they think that they have the votes to do it. They could be disastrous, absolutely disastrous. So it was very important, because America's at a tipping point now. It was very important that the Republicans win those two Senate seats in Georgia. And JTF, of course, did programs on that. And, you know, we were actually involved in a certain way. I wouldn't say in a major way, but thousands of Jewish homes from Jewish voters in Georgia received tapes. The word isn't tapes anymore. But they received in the mail our programs or clips of our programs that were put together by two evangelical Christian pastors in Georgia that were trying to influence Jewish voters in Georgia. Thousands of Jewish households in Georgia received our message. I don't know if they watched it. They didn't have to watch it, but they had the option of watching it. I didn't think it would have an influence, and in the end, it didn't have an influence. We lost, so it didn't have any real big effect. But anyway, we tried. Now, what happens? In Georgia, which was once one of the most conservative states in the country, which was once one of the leading states in the U.S. Confederacy, Georgia, one of the most segregated states in America, whose governor was Lester Maddox in the 1970s. You know who Lester Maddox was? Lester Maddox handed out axe handles to restaurant owners and said, "You pick up this axe and chop up any niggers that try to come into your restaurant." That was what he said. I'm quoting him. If you say, oh, Chaim is using the word nigger, he's using the N-word. Oh, come on, please. I'm quoting somebody. Lester Maddox was a restaurant owner, and he ran for governor because he didn't want to have to let blacks into his restaurant. And so he handed out axe handles to other restaurant owners in Georgia and said, if any niggers try to come into your restaurant or any niggers try to buy your home or try to move into your neighborhood, you confront them with axe handles. And he was elected governor of Georgia on that platform. He was elected governor. That was Georgia. Georgia in 1968 voted for George Wallace, who was a third-party independent candidate running for president. They voted overwhelmingly for George Wallace for president over Richard Nixon and Hubert Humphrey, the two major party candidates. The Democrat and Republican nominees lost in Georgia, and Georgia voted for George Wallace. Georgia was one of only 6 states that Barry Goldwater carried against Lyndon Johnson in the 1964 Lyndon Johnson landslide. Georgia was one of the most conservative states in America, one of the most segregated states in America. And Georgia has now elected Warnock as their U.S. Senator, a Farrakhan-loving, open Farrakhan supporter who supports Louis Farrakhan, who says the whole white race are devils and the whole white race will be exterminated and the Jews deserve another Holocaust. Louis Farrakhan supporter. He was just elected to the United, someone who invited Jeremiah Wright. You remember Jeremiah Wright saying, "God damn America." You remember that? That's who he invited to give a sermon at his church, Warnock. And he was elected to the United States Senate. And this self-hating Jew, Ossoff, John Ossoff, this self-hating Jewish communist, who praised communist China and who said, if you want to find out what's going on in the news, you should look at... He actually urged people on the internet to refer to the Chinese communist news outlets to get their news from communist China. That's where you should get your news from if you want reliable news. This is what this Jew communist said in Georgia, and he was elected to the U.S. Senate, this Jew communist, together with the Farrakhan Black. They were elected to the U.S. Senate from Georgia. Can you believe this? Can you believe what has happened to the country? Now, the Republicans, I think, were going to win those two Senate seats. Trump is responsible for them losing those two Senate seats. Trump went down there and started on the day before the election, the 2 days before the election, when there should have been complete focus on the socialist plans, the anti-white and anti-Semitic plans of these two left-wing Democrat communists. Instead of focusing on the extreme left-wing racist and anti-Semitic policies of these two Democrat candidates, which is what the focus should have been, and what the programs that we send to Jewish voters did focus on that, but it wasn't enough. But that's what the focus should have been on. Instead, all the attention was on Trump, only putting all the attention on himself, because Trump only cares about Trump. Instead of focusing on the elections in Georgia, when he went down there, he made a speech. It was a campaign rally the day before the election. He made a speech to the crowd of Georgia voters. 80% of the speech was about himself, about how great he was, how his presidency was, and all his personal grievances. 80% of the speech was about himself. And he spent that time attacking the Republican governor of Georgia, the Republican lieutenant governor of Georgia, the Republican secretary of state, because they refused to commit fraud. He urged them to commit fraud. He called up the Republican secretary of state in Georgia and said, I need 11,890 votes. In other words, find me 11,890 votes. In other words, change the results of a legal election. Change the election results, which is, of course, completely illegal. And he may yet face legal prosecution for that when he leaves office. He urged the Republican Secretary of State to do that. And then he condemned the Republican Secretary of State, the Republican governor, the Republican lieutenant governor, all the Republican officials he condemned in Georgia because they refused. They wouldn't go along with his plan to commit fraud. In all these states, he demanded that Republicans commit fraud. He demanded that Republican state legislatures vote to dismiss the electors that were elected by the voters and should instead replace them with Trump electors, which is completely illegal and unconstitutional. In other words, defy the will of the vote, the majority of the voters. And I hate Biden, and we supported Trump's re-election because Biden is worse than Trump. As bad as Trump is, and Trump is terrible, but Biden is worse than Trump. But we supported Trump's re-election, and as much as I hate Joe Biden, you can't change the results of an election. You can't do things like that. And Trump was literally trying to overturn the results of an election illegally. And that was the focus. That was all of the focus on the last few days before the election in Georgia. So of course the Republicans lost. Of course the Democrats won. And they won, it was very narrow, very close. If Trump had not spent all his time calling the Republican governor of Georgia and Republican lieutenant governor, Republican secretary of state, traitors, and calling them criminals and saying they were violating the law for not being willing to change the results of the election, when of course he's the one who was violating the law. But if he had not spent this time feuding with all the Republican leaders of Georgia, including the governor, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, attorney general, all the Republicans in Georgia, if he had not spent all of his time feuding with all the Republican officials in Georgia, and instead had focused on the election and focused on the two Democrat candidates, don't you think it was a very close race? Don't you think the Democrats would have lost? Of course they would have. Even with all the sabotage, Trump sabotage, the campaign of the two Republicans. But even with all of that sabotage, the Republicans still came close. So you can imagine what would have happened if they didn't have Trump screwing up their election and stabbing them in the back the way he did. And I'm not saying he didn't deliberately sabotage. He is so self-centered and selfish and egotistical. He doesn't give a damn about anybody but himself. He didn't even think about anybody but himself. He was so busy fighting and feuding the day before the election, when you need a massive Republican turnout, this is what you do. And then there's something else Trump did. By constantly saying that there was massive voter fraud and the elections are complete, and that he won, he said he won by a landslide when in fact he lost by a landslide. But he kept repeating this over and over again. There were Republican turnout was lower because there were some Republican voters who decided not to go to the polls. There were Republican voters who said, you know, what am I going to go to the polls for? It's all rigged. Our president, Donald Trump, says the elections are rigged, that they're going to change the votes anyway, that they're rigged, they were wasting our votes. It's a waste to even bother to vote. Now, it's true that Trump and the Republicans tried to convince Republicans, you should vote anyway, even though it's rigged, and even though there's questions of fraud, no, you should still vote anyway. They tried that, but the message was so confusing that a certain percentage of Republicans didn't show up to vote because they were so convinced that it was a waste of time, that the election was rigged, that it doesn't matter when you vote, doesn't matter because your vote doesn't count because they're going to rig your vote and change and fraudulently change your vote anyway. So Republican turnout was down because of that. Republicans were turned off. Trump ignited a Republican civil war in the middle of the election. And again, even I'm no fan of the governor of Georgia or the lieutenant governor, any of these other officials in Georgia. They're a bunch of phonies too. I'm not a fan of theirs. But you don't start a Republican Party civil war in the middle of a close election. An election which will decide whether or not you control the Senate, which party controls the U.S. Senate. This was a historic election with tremendous historic implications. And the Democrats won both seats. They weren't supposed to. The Republicans were supposed to win, but the situation turned around in those last few days, and they did win both seats because of Trump, again, discouraging Republican turnout by constantly saying the vote is rigged anyway, and the vote is rigged. Yeah, so some voters, if the vote is rigged, why bother to vote? Some voters concluded that. And by the way, there were Trumpsters who went on the internet and said, don't bother to vote. You shouldn't bother to vote. This doesn't make any difference. Our votes aren't going to be counted anyway. That was not most of them, but you didn't need most of them. It was a very close election. If even 1% or 2% if 1% or 2% of Republican voters decided not to vote because of that, that's enough to swing the election. That was enough to swing the election. That's how close it was. And Trump did that. He undermined the whole Republican campaign. Aside from the fact that, of course, if the Republicans are fighting among themselves and there's a civil war within the Republican Party in a couple of days before the election, all the Republicans are calling each other names. Obviously, that's going to turn off a certain number of voters. Obviously. And now, the Democrats, thanks to Trump, the Democrats now control the Senate. They control the House. They control the White House. And yes, it is thanks to Trump that they control all of those, all three. That's all thanks to Trump. JTF warned that Trump's presidency would fail, and it would discredit Republicans and conservatives, and we were so right. Look at how discredited Republicanism and conservatism is in the eyes of most Americans. And in 2020, in the election that was just held last year in November 2020, the election was held on November 3rd, 2020, Trump ran behind the Senate and House candidates running. Everybody keeps saying 75 million people voted for him. Yeah, but 85 million voted against him. He inspired 85 million to come and vote against him. 82 million voting for Joe Biden and another 3 million voting for other candidates. So the fact that, yeah, he got 75 million votes out there, or 74 million, whatever it was, but he got 7 million more people to come out and vote against him. So he inspired more of the other side to come out than his own supporters. That's not bad. It's disastrous. That's terrible. That's how you lose every election. You'll lose every time if you do that. Every time you lose everything. You'll never win an election that way. You can't win that way. And the fact that Trump, now the Republicans did well, though, in gaining seats in the House, and Republican Senate and House candidates ran ahead of Trump. In other words, Republican Senate and House candidates running down the ballot, Trump got a certain number of votes, and then Republican candidates for Senate, House, Governor, they got more votes than Trump. Trump ran behind all of the other Republican candidates on these tickets around the country. He ran behind. The local candidates running down the ballot did better than Trump in the vast majority of races. You know what that shows? That shows most Americans were willing to vote for a Republican. If there had been a sane, stable Republican candidate, Republican nominee for president, he could have won. There's no question we could have won. It's because it was Donald Trump that we lost. That's why we lost the election. And Trump himself said so. Trump himself said that the weakest possible candidates are the candidates running against him, Hillary Clinton in 2016 and Joe Biden in 2020. The Democrats nominated the weakest possible candidates to run against him. In 2020, you couldn't have had a weaker candidate running against you than Joe Biden. The guy, Joe Biden, is senile, he has Alzheimer's, he could hardly put a sentence together. In the debates, he was terrible in the debates. And a candidate like that is a walking disaster area. He was terrible. And Trump lost to him by 7 million votes? Doesn't that show you how that as weak as Joe Biden was, Trump as a Republican nominee was even weaker? If we had had a strong Republican nominee, don't you think a strong Republican nominee would have beaten Joe Biden? Of course they would have. Or of course they could have. And in 2016 with Hillary Clinton, Trump won the Electoral College in 2016, and so he became president. He became president for one term. But he lost the popular vote against Hillary Clinton. A strong Republican candidate in 2016 would have beaten Hillary Clinton in the popular vote as well. She was also a very weak candidate, a very corrupt candidate, terrible candidate. And yet, she beat Trump by several million votes in the popular vote. If the Republicans continue to follow Donald Trump, if Trumpism continues to control the Republican Party, that's the biggest nightmare for Republicans and conservatives, because the GOP will lose in 2024 as well. In 2024, the GOP will lose if this continues to be a party of Trump. And you know what that means? That means America will be doomed. Doomed! Because that means America will go socialist. Because the Democrats are socialists. And America will become a socialist country. And who enabled all of that? Who made all that possible? Donald Trump's presidency. Donald Trump's presidency enabled all that. Let me tell you something. When those riots were taking place in Washington a few days ago, Donald Trump did the impossible. He actually made Joe Biden look good. Joe Biden looked presidential. He got up and he called for order and said we should condemn the violence and we should... Something which Trump for hours refused to do. And then when he did make a speech, he said, "We love you," to the rioters, and said, "But please go home because we need peace. But we love you and we feel your... And I understand you and I feel your pain." Joe Biden actually looked good to people who are stupid, which is the unfortunate majority of the public. Joe Biden actually looked good compared to Donald Trump. He looked presidential compared to Donald Trump. That's very hard to do, to make Joe Biden look good or make Joe Biden look presidential, because he's a complete joke. But Donald Trump was so bad that he actually achieved that. It was really, really disastrous. This was a disastrous week. A disastrous week. Let me tell you what Trump should have done. All right, he loses the election. His presidency was a flop, let's face it. And we'll discuss in a moment some of the things that he failed on. He failed on almost everything. His presidency was a flop. It was a terrible presidency. He loses the election. What should he do at that point? November 3rd is the election. November 4th, it's obvious that he lost the election. What should he do? Should he continue to say, I really won, this is all a fraud? No, no. He should have honorably conceded, and even if he said there were questions of voting irregularities and fraud, nevertheless, I support the voting process and the democratic process, and there's going to be an orderly transition of power. And he should have been honorable and conceded and looked like a responsible leader and a statesman. He should have done that, number one. And then he should have been an honorable, he should have acted in an honorable, respectable manner and hope and wait that Biden's presidency fails. And if Biden's presidency fails, which there's a very good chance it will, because socialist policies don't work. Socialism doesn't work. And appeasement, which was what Biden wants to do internationally, that doesn't work either. So he could wait for Biden to fall flat on his face, and then in 2024 run again and say, you see, wasn't it better when I was president? Don't you miss me? Don't you wish I was president? That would be the smart strategy. That would at least give him a fighting chance. But doing this the way he's acting now? There are many Republicans who will not support him if he runs in 2024. They will not support him. They will never support his presidency. And I'm going to make another prediction. I think he's going to face criminal indictments. I think he's going to get indicted in the end. He's going to face criminal indictments. He could face indictments for inciting violence and in what happened in these riots. That's one possibility. He could get indicted for what he did with the Georgia Secretary of State. They're investigating in Georgia, and there are Democrat prosecutors down there that would love to prosecute him. He's facing tax evasion and tax cheating allegations in New York. Imagine him going before a New York jury. Can you imagine a jury in Manhattan, which votes 86, 88% Democrat. Imagine that, a jury in that jurisdiction deciding his fate in a criminal trial. He may face criminal charges because the Manhattan District Attorney is conducting criminal investigation into his taxes, and you better believe that he is a tax cheat and a liar. There's no question. Trump is a liar and a cheat and always lies and always commits fraud. So he's facing the possibility of all types now of criminal charges once he leaves the White House. While he was president, he was protected from indictment. But once he leaves the White House, he can be indicted as a former president. And with the behavior that he is engaged in lately, even though traditionally they don't, even if they think a former president committed a crime, they usually didn't prosecute former presidents because they don't want to create chaos in the country and division in the country. So usually they didn't do that in the past. But in the case of Donald Trump, the Democrats and the left and the media are so anxious to go after this guy now, and they see him as such an easy target, that I think he faces a real prospect of serious criminal indictments and going to prison. And there's not going to be anybody to pardon him, because Joe Biden, the president, is not going to pardon Donald Trump if he's convicted in a criminal case. Now, I've said that Trump's presidency failed. Let's look at that. Let's just look at that as an example of some of the things. I'm just going to give you some quick examples because of time constraints. I mean, I can do hours and hours and hours on the failures of his presidency. First thing, he said he was going to build a big, beautiful wall. Hundreds of times during the campaign in 2016, he promised he would build a big, beautiful wall all across the entire U.S.-Mexico border, except where the Rio Grande River is. But with the exception of where the river is, all across the rest of the border, he was going to, because the Rio Grande River sometimes is a natural border, but all across the rest of the rest of the U.S.-Mexico border, he was going to build what he called, quote, a big, beautiful wall, unquote. And he kept saying, the wall just got bigger because you criticized me. I'm going to make it 10 feet higher and I'll make it even bigger. And I know how to build beautiful walls. I'm a builder, he kept saying. Yeah, sure. What happened to the big, beautiful wall? It was never built. The vast majority of the U.S.-Mexico border is unsecured. He did not secure the border. And even in the places where there was building, in most cases it was just the fence, which is the same thing that Obama gave us, the same thing Clinton gave us, the same thing all the presidents gave us before. Just the fence. There was very little wall building that took place during his presidency. Very little. Almost none. That's why Ann Coulter, who was one of Trump's biggest, most enthusiastic supporters in 2016, she's one of the few honest Trumpsters who said, hey, this guy lied to us, and he was terrible for us. He didn't do what he promised he was going to do, and she refused to support him anymore. Ann Coulter. Because that was her issue. Her issue was immigration. That's the only issue she cared about. And she said that your wall, you didn't build a wall, and Mexico, remember, Mexico's going to pay for it. Mexico didn't pay for anything, and no wall was built. It was all a lie. There was a little building that took place here and there, and some repairing of the fence, and some fence building, but it was a joke. It's a joke. If you're a group of illegal aliens from Mexico, you can easily find many, many parts of the U.S.-Mexico border where you can easily go across. And there's no wall, and there's nothing that's going to stop you. Donald Trump did not solve that problem. And yes, I'm telling you, Ted Cruz would have built a wall all across the U.S.-Mexico border. He would have gotten it done. He knew how to do it. He knew how to do it legally. He knew how to mobilize people and be a leader. And he'd be focused. Trump, by the way, didn't even bother starting to build the wall until the last year and a half of his presidency. When he knew he had to run for re-election and face the voters, and Coulter was attacking him, he finally decided, I got to start to build a wall. For the first two and a half years of his presidency, he forgot about the wall. Nothing was being done. Nothing. He was so busy focused on himself. Trump also said that Barack Hussein Obama was spending us into bankruptcy and that we needed to control spending. And you remember the Tea Party that was formed to fight against Obama's reckless spending and Obama's budget busting proposals, and how we had so many trillions in debt, and the Tea Party was formed specifically around the issue of the national debt. Donald Trump, before Corona was even became an issue, before anyone even knew there was Corona, Donald Trump was outspending Barack Hussein Obama by 50%. Outspending him by 50%. Huge, massive spending bills. Worse than Obama. So clearly his presidency failed in terms of spending. And you remember, at the end of his presidency, they voted the $600 to give another $600 check to almost everybody, hand out checks to parasitic people who don't work and who don't and the people who do work and who do pay taxes and who do have businesses have to pay for the lazy people who just get checks for nothing. I mean, this is true communism. So you had the $600 bill pay, this the bill giving 600, it was $900 billion, another $900 billion added to the national debt, and $600 checks would be given out to everybody. And Trump insisted that it be increased to $2,000 a person, which the Democrats, by the way, intend to do now. It was the Republicans like Mitch O'Connell refused to do the $2,000 a person because they said, this is crazy. This is going to bankrupt the country. This is going to put us much deeper into the red, much deeper into debt. This is crazy. Mitch O'Connell and other Republicans refused to, they didn't want to support it. But now that the Democrats have control, the first schmuck Schumer has said, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, they said the first thing they're going to do is get these $2,000 checks out, which they can easily pass now because Donald Trump told Republicans, you have to support this. You have to give $2,000 checks to everybody. In other words, Donald Trump was more of a socialist than the Democrats on this issue. And on spending, he was a bigger spender than the Democrats. He wasted more government money and taxpayer money than the Democrats. Look at the statistics, see if I'm right. See if I'm telling the truth. By the way, if you look and check and you find that I'm telling you the truth, will you admit that you were wrong? I doubt it. And you Tea Party people, the Tea Party, and we're going to fight against this. And remember Obama in 2010, they took over the House because the House went Republican because of this issue, because the Tea Party people, the Tea Party was formed to protest Obama's big spending. Where are all the Tea Party people who formed the Tea Party to protest Obama's excessive spending, when Trump was spending far more at a far faster rate and far more wastefully than Obama. Where were the Tea Party people? Oh yes, and I know, no matter what I say now, no matter what I mention, it's always fake news and you're fake news and fake. This is the answer that the Trumpsters use for everything. But deep down you know that every word I'm saying here is true. All factual. Everything I'm saying here is factual. It's all true. Trump is lying to you and you're lying to yourselves. And in the vaccine, I mean, this was the worst. Israel has now vaccinated, little Israel's already vaccinated almost 2 million citizens in that little country. It's a country of 9 million people, 6.5 million Jews, and the rest are mostly Arabs, almost all Arabs. And they've already vaccinated almost 2 million people in that country. And that's a little country with far fewer resources and far less power and far less influence, and they're able to get the vaccines and able to do it efficiently and move things. The United States, where's the vaccination campaign that Trump promised? He promised 20 million people would be vaccinated by the end of 2020. He said by the end of the year, by the end of 2020, 20 million people will be vaccinated. By the end of 2020, at the most, 4 million were vaccinated. Probably less, but at the most, 4 million were vaccinated. And everybody admits that the vaccination process is a disaster and it's going very slowly. It won't take months to vaccinate the American public and get out of this catastrophe now. At the rate that Trump has been doing it, at the rate that with Trump's policies, it would take years for this crisis to finally end, for the American people to finally get vaccinated and for us to get out of this nightmare. Years under Trump. Because he, after the election, he gave up on this. He didn't even bother with this. He only was interested in himself. He was only interested in pursuing his futile, frivolous lawsuits, dozens of lawsuits that were completely frivolous and futile and ridiculous that he knew were lies. That's the only thing he was doing. That's the only thing he was doing. He completely abandoned and ignored the entire vaccination campaign, the distribution of the vaccines. Ignored it. Didn't do his job. There was never a federal plan in place to distribute the vaccines, to get the states to move on the vaccines, to get the drugstores and the hospitals and other places and clinics and other places where you can start getting large numbers of people vaccinated like they've done in Israel successfully. He never had a plan in place for this. If he had put in place a federal plan for this and he had sent it to the states would have, they would have tried to follow up on this. They don't want to look bad. You know, the federal government and the White House and the CDC and the Health and Human Services Secretary and the Health and Human Services Department, they all would have gotten involved and they would have sent the vaccines to the states. And the states would have had a program set out, do A, B, and C, get the drugstores involved, send it to the drugstores, send it to the clinics, send it to the hospitals, and start vaccinating everybody. But no, he didn't do that. No federal plan at all. Just chaos. Completely abandoned people. Tens of thousands of people are going to die because Donald Trump was only thinking of himself. Hundreds of thousands are going to get sick, are going to be infected, and tens of thousands will die because of this negligence on his part. And again, he's going to make Joe Biden look good because Joe Biden is going to come in with a federal plan and he is going to intensify the vaccination campaign. In other words, you're going to see all of a sudden when Joe Biden becomes president, you're immediately going to see a federal plan in place and they're immediately going to start moving on this and pushing aggressively to get this done. So the number of vaccinations is going to go up drastically and Joe Biden is going to be able to say, look what happened. When Trump was president, people weren't getting vaccinated. Nothing was happening. It was going to take years for us to get out of this under Trump. With me, it's going to take months. We're going to get out of it. And it's going to make Biden and the Democrats look good. And that means we are screwed. Because if Biden and the Democrats look good, that means they win the elections, they stay in power, and that means socialism in the United States, and it means open borders, and it means that America will have a non-white majority very quickly. It means catastrophe. And all of that is what Donald Trump has brought to this country. And his Mideast deals that all these disgusting, self-hating Jews of this horrible generation are so thrilled with, that and that are constantly brought up by everybody. Oh, he made Mideast deals between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and Dubai and Morocco. Oh, what a, oh, so great. He's making peace in the Middle East. It's not peace. These treaties enable the Arabs, with their huge amounts of petrodollars that they've accumulated by ripping off the Western world for oil sales, which should never have taken place because the Western world should have been energy independent. These Mideast deals mean that the Arabs now can go into Israel and buy up the Israeli economy. And they're doing it. They're already buying up 50% of Beitar Yerushalayim. Beitar Yerushalayim is the biggest soccer sports team in Israel. The Israelis fanatically love Beitar Yerushalayim. And they're buying 50% of it is going to be owned by an Arab sheikh. Arabs who support murdering Jews, who supported terrorism all these years, who funded terrorism, who funded the murder of Jews. Now they realize there's a smarter way to do it. Just buy up the Israeli economy, control the Israeli economy, and when you can have a stranglehold on the Israeli economy, you can convince Israelis gradually to allow the Muslims to take over the state. Allow the Muslims, with Muslim money and Muslim power and Muslim control of all the big companies, allow them to take over control of the Jewish state. And then the Jewish state can little by little be swallowed up by the Muslim world, because Israel, little Israel, tiny little Israel with 6.5 million Jews, is situated in the middle of an Arab and Muslim world of half a billion Arabs and Muslims. Israel is smack in the middle of the Muslim world. You have a tiny Jewish state surrounded by all of these Arab Muslim countries with hundreds of millions of people. So the country can easily be swallowed up by the Muslim world if they allow it to happen. And that economically is already starting to take place. This is a catastrophe for Israel. What Benjamin Netanyahu, the traitor, has done, and what Jared Kushner, the other traitor, Trump's evil son-in-law, have done. They have put in place agreements that are a disaster, that are a nightmare for the people of Israel. And the people of Israel are thrilled. They think this is peace. And they've also, now Israelis think, oh, you see, the Arab Muslims aren't that bad. The same Arab Muslims that the Israeli Jews were always on their guard against them, because they knew the Arab Muslims hate the Jews and hate anyone who's not a Muslim, who's a non-Muslim infidel. And now they think, oh, you know something? They're not so bad. We can be friends with them. We can travel to their countries. They can travel to our countries. We can do trade with them. We can make deals with them. And eventually we can marry them and assimilate and so on with them. This is a nightmare. This is how the state of Israel gets swallowed up in the end, God forbid. This is the ultimate nightmare. Trump led the way to do this together with Netanyahu. JTF. One thing JTF is doing. We didn't succeed in Georgia. Okay, these two Christian evangelicals, they tried their best. They sent it out. I wasn't optimistic, if you recall, but about us having much of an impact anyway. But they sent our stuff out. It didn't succeed in Georgia. But we are sending out. We are reaching thousands of Israeli Jewish voters every single day now. We've stepped up our advertising campaign because Israel is going to have a new Knesset election. Knesset is the Israeli parliament. They're having their new parliamentary Knesset elections on March 23rd. So that's less than 80 days from now. And so we have stepped up our advertising campaign. We're reaching an average of 3,000 or 4,000 Israeli Jews a day with our videos, with our paid advertising. 3,000 or 4,000 a day are being reached. And so we're hoping to, with this message of how the phony right in Israel is worse than the left, and if you love the land of Israel and love the state of Israel, you should never vote for Likud or Netanyahu. He's destroying the country. Over 90% of the surrender of Jewish land in Israel took place when the so-called right-wing Likud was in power, not when the left was in power. The Likud are the ones that did all the withdrawals from the land, did most of the withdrawing from the land of Israel, did most of the destruction of Jewish communities and expelling of Jews from their land and concessions, suicidal concessions to the enemies of Israel. It was the Likud and the so phony right. They're the ones that did this. So we have a campaign explaining that and giving facts to people. And I'm hoping that it'll have somewhat of an influence on the election. I don't know. I don't know how much of an influence. I don't know if it'll be enough. We'll see. We'll see. But that's what JTF is doing right now. So we are involved and we're bringing the truth to the Jews of Israel. That is really what's important. That's 100% of our budget goes to Israel. 100% of our budget goes to what we're doing in Israel. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to influence that election on March 23rd because Netanyahu must go. He is a disaster. He must go. He is leading Israel down this road to suicidal insanity. He's got to go. As the other leaders are also very bad. The ones running against him are very bad, but he is the worst. He is the worst. I mean, what he is doing is just the ultimate nightmare for Israel, and he's got to be defeated. And we're doing everything we can to defeat him. So, that's where we stand right now. We're doing our best to try to influence things, which is what our role is in this world. And I hope that we'll succeed. I hope that we'll have an impact. If we can swing one or two, there are 120 seats in the Israeli Knesset. If we can just pull one or two away from the Likud, one or two away with our advertising campaign, one or two, they lose one or two seats because a lot of Israeli Jews are going to see our ads by the time the election comes. Many Israeli Jews will see our ads, God, Bezrat Hashem, God willing, with God's help. If we can pull just one or two seats away in a close enough, if it's close enough, that can make the difference. So we've got to try. We're obligated to try. And that's what we're trying to do. We're doing everything we can to try to save Israel and try to save the Jewish people so that we can bring the redemption to Israel and to the world. If we work together as a team, we can change things and we can change Jewish history. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.